Thank you so much, Mary, and thank you everyone for being here this afternoon. I think what Michelle and I are going to talk about next really follows on exactly from what Allison was talking about regarding some of the resources and materials available to healthcare providers and parents to have these discussions around vaccines. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes or so is just talk a little bit about some of the research that we've done in the last year, and then turn it over to Michelle to talk about more how that research was used to develop these materials and some of the materials that we have available. So a brief overview, and last year, I believe at the same NIC, similar session, we talked about some of the research that went into our understanding of parent attitudes and parent questions and concerns around vaccines. Some research that was done in 2008 with first-time moms, some testing of draft materials, the health style survey that we try to do annually to look at some of the attitudes and concerns around vaccines and parents. So the two that I'll talk about specifically today are the 2009 Health Style Survey, as well as some focus groups with moms that we did last year. A couple other examples of some more focused research that we do that's always ongoing and around specific topics includes focus groups around MMRV vaccine and seasonal and pandemic influenza. And I won't review this set of research today, but just wanted to mention some of the research that we've done with healthcare providers as well. For example, in 2008, some in-depth interviews with pediatricians and family physicians and getting their input in this issue. And then a survey last year, I'd just like to, take this opportunity to let you know that in a session tomorrow morning, Dr. Allison Kemp out of Colorado will be talking about this survey of pediatricians and family practitioners that she led around this area that we were fortunate enough to collaborate with her on that. But onto some of the research results. First, these focus groups that we held with moms in 2009. I won't spend too much time on the methods. I like to just, get to the results and the points that inform some of the materials that have been developed. But we did conduct 16 focus groups in March of last year in Chicago and Seattle. With moms, all had at least one young child, even though they may have had older children as well, had given their children at least one vaccine. We talked a lot about different areas around vaccines, vaccine attitudes, and I'll just present a couple that we focused on that helped inform some of the materials in the direction that Michelle will talk about. And the first was actual knowledge and beliefs around vaccine-preventable diseases. We talked to moms about their perceptions of severity and susceptibility to vaccine-preventable diseases, and it was very interesting to talk to them without any prompting to ask them to name some of these diseases, what they were, how serious they thought they were, and they really did, classify these vaccine-preventable diseases. For instance, polio and hepatitis always came up as, the serious diseases, the ones moms were aware of and felt were serious, and you may, be familiar with this. Influenza and varicella were consistently considered least serious. And again, Allison had given the example of, I had chickenpox and I was fine. And we hear that kind of thing as well in our research. The personal experience can sort of go both ways with vaccine-preventable diseases. An interesting thing, though, once we gave parents brief descriptions of these vaccine-preventable diseases, and many were surprised to find out some of the consequences, side effects, that some of these could even be fatal. Including some that they thought weren't serious upon walking in. And again, we found the impact of personal stories was really important. A lot of moms shared their stories that impacted their views of vaccine-preventable disease. For instance, knowing a child that had pertussis really affected a lot of the mom's perception of the need for vaccines, where again, the severity of flu or chickenpox may have seemed less so if they had, had an uneventful illness themselves or in their own family. We talked a lot this year, too, about the childhood immunization schedule. Wanted to hear what moms were saying and thinking about the schedule itself. And they were generally knowledgeable about the timing of vaccines or the recommended timing of vaccines. And as you might, expect and not be surprised, many reacted negatively to receiving multiple injections in one visit. It didn't mean they didn't receive them, just that it wasn't, something that they were comfortable with or always liked to have. We talked about the mom's own vaccination practices with their children, and most were vaccinating according to schedule, but I think spontaneously the discussion started talking about spreading out the schedule. This was really across all parents that we talked to, all moms that we talked to. It was generally short-term spreading of vaccinations, so we heard a lot about, you know, breaking up one set of shots into a few visits across a few weeks or a month, not as much about putting off vaccines until later or longer-term spreading of vaccines, but this was definitely something they talked about. And they had a variety of reasons for doing this. Some moms were concerned about, again, about children's ability to handle multiple vaccines. They perceived it as, you know, too much at once for their small children. Some concerns about the pain, and also some concerns about being able to pinpoint the source of any adverse events or anything that happened later. Well, if they get a few shots and something happens tomorrow, I won't know which one caused it. So that was a concern voiced by some of the moms in our focus groups as well. We talked too about sources of information, and again we hear about, you know, parents still turn to their children's doctors most often with their questions about vaccines. And in some of the survey research I'll present in a few slides, we see that again. This is, you know, nothing new, but we also talked about the internet as a frequently cited source for information, and specifically searching. And when we talked to moms about sites, it wasn't even searching, it was just Googling, you know, Googling as a verb, and almost exclusively so. But some other specific websites, including WebMD, a lot of mom or parenting websites like Baby Center were very commonly cited as well. And family and friends with children, of course, were trusted sources of information. And so then we asked these moms what advice about vaccination they would give to other moms. And, you know, it is reassuring and, you know, to us at least, to hear that the most common advice really was that vaccines are important. Talk to your healthcare provider if you have questions. And there was, though, this overarching theme still of personal choice regarding necessity or regarding the schedule as it was recommended. And despite some hesitancy to give other mothers even hypothetical advice about their children or how to, you know, raise their children or medical advice, we heard a lot of, you know, do your research, trust your instincts, that this is, you know, part of your job as a mother. So next I'll talk a little bit about a survey that was done last August and September that has a lot of similar, you know, similar themes that you'll start to see and see these reflected in how the materials were developed as well that Michelle will talk about. Again, just very briefly, the methods of the survey. This is an annual survey that included questions on vaccine attitudes, beliefs, and concerns of parents. The data are weighted to represent the population of the U.S. This is just a preliminary descriptive analysis of the data, just, you know, the percentages, but gives us some sort of idea of how things looked in 2009. And this is an analysis of the 475 respondents who had a child under 6 years of age and under, and that's important to keep in mind. So these were parents of a child up to age 6 years. Just briefly, some of the demographics of the parents. And one thing I should note also is that this survey also contained fathers and male caregivers as well as females. The focus groups were just with moms. We did ask parents in the survey about their vaccinations of their children. Most had already received all recommended vaccines. That's 75%. I'm sorry if that's a little small. Or intended that their children would receive all vaccines. And about 6% said their child would receive some but not all, and about 1% said their child would receive none of the recommended vaccines. So again, when asked about important sources of information, you know, overwhelmingly it was the child's healthcare provider, such as a doctor or nurse, at 82%. But respondents were allowed to choose up to three sources. So again, family was very important. Friends, their child's other parent were some of the top sources of information for parents. So you see, again, sort of asked in a different way, and this is sort of the scale of the question along the bottom from strongly disagree to strongly agree, and the percent of parents on the side here. And when asked about trust in the vaccine advice of their child's healthcare provider, again, over 80% agreed or strongly agreed. Confidence, again, was very high. Confidence in the safety of routine childhood immunizations. Again, 79% confident or very confident in safety. And just to give you some background, you know, we've asked this question over a lot of years, and you'll see a couple of missing years where it wasn't on the survey, but, you know, since 2003, 05, 06, 08, and 09, you know, parents that are confident or very confident in safety, it's tended to be pretty similar, ranging around 74 to 80% of parents in this survey. And, you know, that's pretty similar to, I guess, coverage with the 431-331 series of infants, so it's a similar number to that. We asked about comfort in this issue of the number of childhood vaccines, again, is a big concern that we hear a lot from parents, and so asked comfort with the number of childhood vaccines in the first 2 years. Again, the majority comfortable or very comfortable, although, again, we're talking to parents, you know, sometimes several years after the fact, with maybe a six-year-old or an older child, and asking them to think back. And one new question we had this year, we wanted to ask about the number of shots. What is the most number of shots you're comfortable with in one doctor's visit? And this was kind of interesting. The choices were none, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 or more, and then whatever the doctor recommends. But interestingly, you know, the most common answer was 1 to 2, followed by 3 to 4, and then whatever the doctor recommends. So there was about a quarter of parents who just said, you know, I'm comfortable with what the doctor recommends. The others, at least when prompted or when asked, sort of had a range of what they were comfortable with, not necessarily their actual behavior, but their comfort level. And finally, we ask about concerns, and I'll just, you know, end here with a few slides about which concerns, if any, do you have about childhood vaccines? And these tend to fall, you know, in some of the categories we've talked about already. Pain from the shots, from the number of shots, was the most common, as it has been in past surveys, at about 44%. Again, this issue of the number of vaccines, fevers or short-term side effects were another common concern, and, you know, something that we can talk about, you know, communication with parents and when fevers after or vaccines and why that happens and what parents can do, sort of an action item around something like that. The number of vaccines in the first 2 years of life. Vaccines causing autism, ingredients, again, chronic disease caused by vaccines were some of the sort of next most common on the list. And then finally, towards the end, you know, vaccines that weren't, you know, diseases that weren't necessary, shortages, vaccines not being tested enough was, again, a less common concern this year. And finally, the least common concern was that vaccines were being given for diseases that weren't serious. So that's just a very whirlwind overview of a couple of the research projects that informed the materials development that Michelle will talk about now. So I'll turn it over to Michelle.
So as you can see, there's a pretty hefty list of all of the research that had been done, both with providers and parents, and a lot of information. So, you know, what really to do with all we've learned, all of the information that's out there? How do we approach that? And we took a look at, you know, our key drivers. So kind of to boil it down, I have 5 key drivers that are identified here. And the first one is that vaccine safety issues is a concern for many parents. Almost all the parents that we spoke with, some had some kind of safety concern. And the Allisons have summed those up very nicely today. So there's a whole host of those concerns. And we committed to do a risk communication approach to maintain trust with parents. And that risk communication approach is characterized by empathy, meaning to acknowledge that parents have concerns and that they want what's best for their child, and really transparency is to acknowledge that vaccines, there are risks to vaccines and what those risks are, including reactions and adverse events, and at, you know, what the percentage of those might be. So looking at a risk communication approach is really vital, and we felt very important into maintaining the trust of parents in vaccines. Also, the facts don't speak for themselves. You've heard a variety of, you know, you can't just share the science. Those personal accounts are very, very influential to parents, whether they're positive or negative. So we realized that was very persuasive and memorable to many parents. And also, I've been asked when folks, you know, have found out what I do, the top question here at this conference is, so give me the magic bullet, what's the magic bullet? And you know, if you shared, so if you've actually had the opportunity to hear many of the sessions here, and I think Ari and both Allison talked about it today, there's a lot of different, you know, frameworks and steps and, you know, a variety of things. But the bottom line really is there's a real spectrum of parental attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors, and that requires some tailoring and some layering of communication. Many of you, you know, in your practices and when you see your patients, you know the ones that you're going to have to take a little bit of extra time with, or the ones that, you know, don't really have any specific questions about vaccines. So, you know, looking at the different amounts of both information and talk time, you know, is also really critical. And then, you know, the other magic bullet, you know, can't we just say something in 60 seconds that will make, you know, make everything okay? Well, unfortunately, answer is probably not. But the good news is that we know that parents still really trust providers and that you are the most influential and important in addressing their vaccine safety questions and concerns, and that your recommendation, that time and your personal recommendation really means a lot to these parents, and they really do take it to heart. So although it may take more time to talk about vaccine questions and concerns, what you have to say is very, very important to the parents that are coming to you for their immunizations, their child's immunizations. The other thing that I want to touch on is a lot of parents said, you know, there's so much information out there. I really don't know who to trust. I want clear and consistent messaging. And that was a real key in how we decided to move forward with our messages and our materials. And we took a look at working and are very pleased to be working in co-branding with the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Family Physicians. And these new resources that we actually have developed have been in conjunction with these two groups, and they're called Provider Resources for Vaccine Conversations with Parents. Allison has shared two of the research projects that went into this, but we also did a literature review. Again, we committed to our key drivers for our communication planning. We had tremendous input from subject matter experts. Literally, you know, the stage could be full. We could have another stage here. A lot of folks have had a lot of really great input into these materials, and it's been, you know, really wonderful from our perspective and appreciated to make sure that we have both the most scientifically accurate information for parents, as well as, you know, that we have the breadth of what parents are asking and the questions that they're most concerned about. And then all throughout the process, we've done qualitative and quantitative research through developing those materials, and we'll continue to, and I'll share some of that with you. At the bottom of this slide, you'll see where you can actually go to get these materials. They're actually available online. They're free, downloadable. They're available in a couple formats, both black and white and full color. And you can print on office color printers, or you can actually have commercial print files. And so all of that is readily available. You can go right to the website and download that online. And it's free. A little bit about what we have available currently is talking with parents about vaccine information for infants, and Allison talked about the real importance of tone. And in our discussions with providers and in our research with providers, they were very frank and honest, you know, and keeping up with vaccine safety information is a challenge. Keeping up on, you know, the scientific literature is really kind of difficult. As you guys know, many journals are published, you know, monthly, so there's a lot of information, and studies are continuing and ongoing. So they wanted to know how to keep up with that information and the tone in which to talk with parents. So we have a piece on talking with parents. We have a whole safety series. And the safety series is basically looking at some of the issues we've talked about today. So the first one that's available is MMR vaccine safety. We will also have pieces on ingredients and the schedule, as well as an overview of the U.S. vaccine safety system. And we have a series of diseases and the vaccines that prevent them. So that really is going to focus on the 14 diseases that children under two can be protected from by vaccines. And then if you choose not to vaccinate your child, we were hearing from a lot of providers that it's really difficult, you know, the decision to delay or decline. And in my practice, of course, I want all my kids that I take care of fully vaccinated. So what do I tell the parents that choose not to? And so this was crafted to talk about the risks that a choice to not vaccinate or to delay vaccination is leaving that young child at risk, and what are those specific risks and responsibilities before disease is present in the community and when disease is detected in the community as well. And then I also want to talk about the fact that we do have more coming soon. On the bottom of this page, one of the other pieces that we've done is to allow feedback for folks that have reviewed the materials to let us know, one, what you think, and two, what else you'd like, what else you think would be helpful and beneficial in your practice. So quickly, a little bit about each. Talking with parents about vaccines for infants, that particular audience is for healthcare providers. And so again, we focus on the whole risk communication. So acting with empathy and transparency, setting the right tone for the conversation. We have actually 6 steps listed here. But you know, again, we would say the top one is setting the appropriate tone, taking the time to listen, welcoming questions, asking open-ended questions, waiting for the response. Don't wait for a parent to ask you. I heard a physician told me that, you know, it used to be that parents would come in and I would finish up the exam and say, so the nurse will be in to give the 5 shots that are due today. And now his frame has changed, and when he's done with the exam, he says, I plan to give 5 vaccines today. Do you have any questions? So again, those little changes and asking those open-ended questions from parents, you know, can really let them know that you're open to that conversation and approaching that. And then also to keep the conversation going. You know, sometimes that if a parent is not going to or does not want to get a vaccine today and delaying their vaccine to a 2-week later time period, really important to leave those lines of communication open to make sure that they know. And I've talked to many immunization service providers who have said, I tell them, okay, but when you come back in 2 weeks or when you come back for your next visit, we'll again be talking about vaccines. So, you know, again, keeping the conversation open, keeping that relationship of trust so that you can bring these, you know, the conversation about vaccines up again with parents. And again, acknowledging in a very transparent way the benefits and the risk of vaccine. We also have some tips on after the visit in this particular sheet. And there's also some ways to, some suggested ways of approaching some of the questions that you may get from parents. Our safety series, the first piece that we have is the MMR vaccine safety series. The primary audience is healthcare providers. And it's really, again, directed toward providers where we know that you're busy. We know that a lot of times you don't have time to read all the research. So you'll see the shaded box. On the right of the page, or the left of the page here, is basically the bullet points, what's going to be covered. And then these are written in a really Q&A format. Many of these questions have been taken from the questions that parents had in the formative research. So, and they're a Q&A format for question and answer to give you some things that you might want to consider saying to a parent should they ask these questions. On the flip side of this page is an area where we highlight 6 different studies on MMR vaccine. And it was really important for parents. We also tested this particular piece with parents because our secondary audience is parents who are concerned about MMR vaccine safety. And we're realists. We know that, you know, these are kind of dual purpose sheets because parents will be able to find them on the web and very busy offices. You know, we know that the reality is you'll Xerox these off and give it to a parent who has this particular concern. So we wanted to test these with parents. And, you know, they also found them very helpful. Their comments were, it was great to see the research, and the research actually has URLs where you can go directly to the full study free of charge, so that was really important that you'd have access to those. And parents were very honest with us. They said, this is great. We like seeing the research. The reality is I may or may not go there. I probably won't, but I'm glad the research is on here. The other thing that I think was very telling for parents is, and you can't see it here, but right under MMR vaccine safety in that teeny tiny type, those of you that had it on your chair can see that too. One of the comments from, you know, parents had commented that, oh, this is really current information, because there's an actual date on when the sheet was last updated. And so they really enjoyed seeing that too, because some of the comments were, well, this study is from 2004. It can't be the most current information. You know, so again, seeing that last updated date made parents realize that they are in fact getting the most current information, and they're getting a variety of the studies as well. And then one of the things we wanted to do is to let parents know, and you know, many, when we were doing our research, we had heard that parents were familiar with the diseases, but again, didn't think they were no longer circulating or an issue for their children, some parents. And so, you know, we wanted to make sure that they know these parents, these diseases were still around, and they were, you know, they were still circulating. So these really are for parents who are questioning vaccine safety or the necessity of vaccines. And it really is written in a more stylistic parent magazine approach. So you'll see the orange shaded area, again, on your left. And that's basically a story, a real life story of a family whose child had measles, and it's from the San Diego outbreak. And some of the things we were hearing is, wow, you know, they took it for a true story and said it better be true, for one. But two, you know, I didn't realize that we had an outbreak of measles in this country. You know, I thought we didn't have measles anymore. So, you know, we're striving with these sheets to get current stories so parents know these diseases are still circulating. And these stories are also educational stories about signs and symptoms and, you know, other pieces of the disease. So part of it is, again, the stories, and you'll see in a Q&A format. On the flip side, there's also citations. So where did this information come from? And if you wanted to look it up, you could go there and find it too and read more about it. Again, everything is co-branded, and then the CDC website is on that, is on each piece, along with the 1-800 CDC information number. Again, some of you have commented that you've seen that if you choose not to vaccinate, your child understands the risks and responsibilities. So this piece really is for those that, you know, have chosen not to vaccinate or to delay vaccines, or a vaccine, to let them know, again, there are risks and here's what they are. And most importantly, if you choose to delay a vaccine, that means your child is open to, you know, possibly contracting a disease should it be circulating in your community. And one of the pieces of this sheet that I've had a lot of healthcare providers talk to me about is, you know, I don't think parents think about the fact that if their child is ill or sick and has to go to the doctor or get emergency care, one of the really important things to tell attending healthcare providers is that my child isn't fully immunized, because that opens up another host of possibilities when looking at what this child might have. Also wanted to let you know that besides print material, we have a video on YouTube, and the actual address is at the bottom of the sheet. It's a 6-minute video. It actually has been used in waiting rooms for parents, but it's also been used as a teaching tool. Some providers have used this to train their staff on how modeling risk communication behavior for their staff and answering parents' questions about vaccines. So it's Real Moms, and it's Dr. Jeannie Santoli, who's a pediatrician with NCIRD. And the questions that these moms are asking came directly from our formative research. So these questions are some of the top questions that parents wanted to know about vaccines. And again, the pediatrician addresses them in risk communication strategy. We have continued, we'll be doing some additional materials as I talked to you a little bit earlier about, and we'll be doing some additional research. So for 2010, we'll again do the Health Style Survey, which Allison shared with you. We also have a national poll that's in the field presently to look at knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors of parents and caregivers of children 6 to 20 through 23 months old. So we're looking at getting that information, hopefully soon. Oh, excellent. So we'll be getting that information soon. And then looking at how parents view risk and benefits We'll be doing some cognitive interviews, one-on-one interviews with parents to have them take a look at the VIS statements and let them know, you know, and talk with them about receiving information through the VIS statements. And then we do have additional research for providers. Once getting all the provider resources for vaccine conversations with parent information out into the field, we're going to speak with providers to see how they use the information. Allison today gave you some examples of how they might use that information one-on-one with parents or in, you know, the Welcome to Our Practice new patient orientation sessions. So we're very curious to see how providers are using that and what they're finding as far as being effective to answer parents' questions. A list of websites that might be helpful to you about the conversation materials, as well as feedback. We'd like to encourage you to give feedback on these materials, as well as tell us what other materials you think would be helpful. And then some additional information on the childhood video. And then we also have a provider portal that I would encourage you to check out as well. I'd like to just take a minute to acknowledge all of the people that have been very actively engaged in these materials, and again, more to come, but Mary McCauley has been the lead writer and editor on these pieces. Our web team has been absolutely fabulous, Maureen Marshall, Kathy Hogan, and crew, as well as the American Academy of Family Physicians and the American Academy of Pediatrics have been really wonderful to work with in reviewing our materials and giving ideas and suggestions. The Academy for Educational Development has also contributed greatly to these, and a whole long list of our subject matter experts to make sure that we have the most current and accurate information in these materials. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. That was terrific. If you have questions, we've got a few minutes. If you need to go, please feel free. But if you have questions, do make your way to the microphone. Any wealth of expertise at the table. The addresses are pretty simple, so I think what I'll do is back up to...
Oh, the housekeeping, okay.
In case you needed more time with those websites. Well, that was everything. No, but you can. Yes.
I have a question. First of all, I'd like to say in Arizona, we love the new resources. Our health plans are beginning to adopt them, as well as our providers. And we do trainings in offices with MAs, and we're planning on incorporating those and how we talk to them about talking to parents. And I love the new case definition that we can give them on a very simple way to remember it. But kind of going back to what you said with parents going to preschool teachers for information, we have a grant where we're looking at developing materials for childcare centers about why the requirements are in place. And really having them, rather than saying it's state law, just bring your immunization record, having them have something available to talk to parents about it. But does anyone know of a state or anywhere who has something so we're not reinventing the wheel? And do you plan on taking this campaign one step further into childcare settings instead of just providers?
Our first tier is really going to be into healthcare providers, so looking at AAP, AAFP, nursing organizations, and others, and then also to parents direct. We're working on a new parent portal. At this time, Jennifer, we don't, but I do think it's a great idea.
Know of any other state that's got something that we could steal from, borrow? Anyone? No? Well, I'll share when we figure out what we're going to do.
Please do.
I don't really have a question, but some people were asking me as I walked by. All the handouts that were in the front are now been picked up by everyone. But this very first link at the top is where you can go and get your own copies or print them out for yourselves.
Thank you, Kathy.
I actually have a question.
I know this is very non-traditional, but you know, one of the things that I'm wondering is on the website, headed into, you know, we put most of our information on web-based, you know, on the website for download. And I'd like to know if anyone has any other ideas. Jennifer, I know you said that you're actually getting it out through your health systems and your healthcare networks. Would it be helpful to have electronic copies of these some way?
Yes.
Okay. And anything else that you think might be helpful or effective for you?
Can you take that video and like down, bring it to like a coalition's website permanently? Or I know they had talked about some of the other CDC stuff.
The content syndication of video? So whatever we have on our site goes to your site directly? Kathy, can we do that? Kathy's our webmaster.
I pulled over one of my web, a person on my web team. I'm the lead of the NICRD web team, but lead means I lead. It doesn't mean I know everything. Can you answer that question about the video? They want to know if how they would get the video on their website besides putting a link. Because if you put the link, it's just going to pop up and it's going to show for anybody. So you want it to actually be embedded on your so you want like a picture of the video, just so where it says get the picture, and you want that as a picture on your website, and then when someone clicks it, they actually have it run. Yeah, that we can help you with. Our email is ncirdwebteam@cdc.gov. So all these types of questions about what you can put on your websites, please send them to us, and we will answer them, usually within 24 hours, but not always. It just depends on how hard it is and how, if I have to get, it's N as in Nancy, C as in communications, I guess it should be National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, which is NCIRD web team at cdc.gov. And there's somebody on the team that can answer probably just about anything you've got. Now, one of the things that Michelle just mentioned was content syndication. And for all of you that have websites, we can put code on our pages. I'm trying to get it in as best the layman's terms as I can. We can put code inside our code that allows our content to come up on your website. So it looks like our content is your content. And the second ours, or I shouldn't say the second, probably within a couple of hours, when ours information is updated, your site automatically shows the updated information. So this is the beauty of, and I want to tell all of you, do not copy our materials onto your site. Why? Because when we update our materials, your stuff is still old. I can't tell you how many. We get about 400 hits a week. People still bringing up the 2007 immunization schedule. I almost cry every time I get that report. Do not link to our materials. Call, email me. I will get it so it comes up automatically on your site. Okay? Promise?
I just have one other comment. We do have the video on DVD, so if you do want that direct to DVD, we can send you that. And if you give, if you email me, I'd be pleased to do that. The other thing I wanted to just let everyone know is the third URL there, the cdc.gov/vaccine/HCP, is our portal page. It's kind of like where we want healthcare providers to go. And then from there, you can find all of the information that you're looking for, a variety of specific to healthcare providers. So this is storage and handling issues, the vaccine conversation materials we spoke about today, the schedules, you know, the interactive childhood scheduler and adult scheduler, all of that information is readily accessible on that page. But the other thing that's there is you'll see a mailbox on the top of that page, and that, if you click on there to receive updates when that page is updated, every time we put a new piece into Provider Resources for Vaccine Conversations with Parents, you'll get an email about that piece to know something new has been added. So it's the best way to kind of keep updated on what's new and what's coming online and available to you now.
Definition of portal. Portal is another way of saying a home page made just for the providers. So it's their doorway into our website. This week we did usability studies on with program managers, and it was delightful. We're designing their homepage for just program managers and people like them in their state offices so that they have a doorway into our vaccine site, and it's going to show what they mostly hit inside our, or looking for inside our site. So we got a lot of good input, I hope. There is going to be an announcement when that goes live. It'll be out on the website. You'll be able to find it because it'll be advertised on the actual vaccine's homepage. Go to it and go ahead and sign up for the email subscription service, which is what she just mentioned, is also on the parent portal, on the provider portal page. And then if you're in that position or if you want to see what that homepage looks like, you will be emailed anytime something that has to do with program managers. And you all know who you are. It'll tell you about vaccine. Let's see, what would we learn in our usability? We learned that you want to know about vaccine shortages, you want to know about recalls, you want to know about some of the other things they wanted to know, that whenever VIS is updated, whenever an ACIP recommendation is changed, you want to know about anything that's become a provisional recommendation, any of that stuff that's right up your alley, you'll be emailed whenever that stuff goes on our site, so you'll know the minute it goes out there. Any other web questions while I'm standing here?
No, but I'm glad you're here.
Yes. What's my email? N National Center, so NCI for Immunization Respiratory Diseases, which is NCIRD web team at cdc.gov. And we, all of us on the team, and there's five of us, answer that email every day. We rotate who's on it, but if they can't answer it, they send it to... I get enough spam. I don't want to give out my other email. Sorry. Anybody else? Well, if you do have a question.
What you were just describing, that's a content communication that I spoke about? Yes.
Content syndication is the newest and greatest thing. To make it easier on you all who have websites and for us to make sure that your websites have the most current information, and so it makes it easier on your web people, and it makes it easier on us. We rest at night knowing that your stuff is as current as ours.
I have just one plug. Is it okay if I say
Please
this?
Do.
Yes.
I don't know. What is it?
It's about adding another piece to the information for parents regarding flu. More children and babies die of flu every year than measles or anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think it behooves us to raise the immunization rate for infants and children above 25% against influenza.
Yeah, absolutely. What's going to happen when you go to this vaccine/conversations? You'll see, where to go? On this sheet with diseases, there's a measles sheet, but there's one planned for each of the other 13 childhood vaccine preventable diseases, as Michelle described. And when you go to the safety series, you'll see one on MMR vaccine safety, but upcoming is thimerosal, schedule, ingredients, and overview of the U.S. vaccine safety system, even a sheet on VAERS if anybody wants to go that deep, and then anything else you guys suggest, which is why when we get those up, I'm going to take a vacation. But this TELUS website address is really very important because we'd like to hear good things. But we'd also like to hear on individual sheets if there's anything that you see that's a little wonky that made it past all of these people. Please let us know, because it has already happened. We've changed the measles sheet a little bit, but that'll be your opportunity to let us know what would make a nice addition to this set of resources as it builds. Yes, boss.
I'm going to do something shameless, because I never get the chance to give kudos to my staff in public. And you all know what kind of year everybody's had in this room with H1N1. And so in the midst of all that, these fine people and others sitting in the room, Cookie, I see you, and Kathy from the web team, have been tireless in moving this stuff ahead. And all those people, you know how difficult it is to do anything by committee, and trying to get those people's attention during a pandemic, oh my goodness. And they're very committed, and they beat themselves up for not having more ready for you all now, but I told them they would that everybody here would understand and know that we are working as hard as we can, and that when we do post one of these, you know it's gold standard. It's gone through the rigor that you expect from CDC. So I just want to say a big thank you to Mary and Michelle and my staff.
Well, I feel the love. Thank you. And all I have to be is wherever Michelle is, and I work that much harder because she's just unstoppable. This is housekeeping, which I don't do. I won't use exactly the same joke as I did this morning. Okay, yeah, I will. You should see my condo. Moderator, please read at close of session. So I will. Stop by the CE room in the Learning Center. This is important, seriously, to apply for continuing education credits or to request a certificate of attendance. The conference staff are available. We may have messed up already. They're going to be there till 5:30, and this is important, until 1 tomorrow. They're going to shut down at 1 tomorrow to help you with your CE application. You can apply for CE over the internet after the conference if you miss these times, and they're in the CE room. I do get to say Zumba. You're invited to join the conference planners for Zumba tonight at 6 p.m. in Hanover Hall. Tomorrow morning at 7, start the day right by participating in Body Vive, Vive. I don't know. Fitness event also in Hanover Hall. Doesn't that sound like Harry Potter or something? Hanover Hall. Please arrive 15 minutes early for both events so that you can sign in, and that means sign that it'll be okay if you've collapse. The next session begins tomorrow morning at 9, and you can look on pages 34 and 35 of the book. And seriously, the conference, the people who work so hard to put on this conference every year are just downstairs from us, and I know that they want these evaluation forms. There's an evaluation form behind the last tab in your agenda book, or you can go online and do an evaluation. And it's unfortunate, but the things that you drop them in look kind of like trash cans, but please do drop them off, but not in a trash can. Stop by the registration desk if you need a receipt, and there will be a light continental breakfast outside the Centennial Ballroom in the morning at 8. Enjoy your evening, and thanks for joining us and sticking with us.